God. I tell you, it's difficult sometimes to discern the will of God when you come to services like this. And had we shouted a few more minutes, we'd have just went on to the house and come back tonight. But we're going to try to preach a little bit, if God will help us today. And I will try to preach fast. I mean that. I hate to keep you all every Sunday until 1 o'clock. But praise God. I know some of you have to work on Monday. And Brother Hall can sit around the house and read his Bible, study and pray. And I don't have to go out and break my back driving nails or digging ditches or twisting wrenches or this or that. I don't have to do that. And handling lumber and timber. Of course, Brother Shelby don't handle it. All he does is push buttons. He's a head honcho over at that place, bud. And sits in air conditioning and pushes buttons. You fellas working on that computer back there thought you had it made. And he just sits there and pushes buttons, too. I don't have to go out on the job on Monday, and I know that makes it a little easier on the preacher. But, I believe we'll be glad in the consummation of the ages that we've minded the Lord, done what God wanted us to do. Don't forget the meeting tonight at 6, and try your best to be here. I mean, you just about need to be here unless you're out of town or something, okay? Song of Solomon, chapter number 7. Let's stand together, please. I may need a little more water. That one there's about gone. Brother Jordan, no, his is empty too. Brother Steve drank all of his. All right, Song of Solomon, and chapter number 7 and verse number 1. How beautiful are thy feet with shoes, O prince's daughter. The joints of thy thighs are like jewels, the work of the hands of a cunning workman. The joints of thy thighs are like jewels, the hands of a cunning workman. Let's pause to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege we've had to be here today. I thank you, Lord, for the good worship that you provided because of your presence. And Lord, from me to you, you're a welcome guest each and every time we come together in this place. I want to adore you and love you because you first loved me. And I thank you, Lord, for the rejoicing spirit in the hearts of your people this day, for allowing us to just praise you a little for what you've done for us. Now I pray that you'll still our hearts around the Word of God. And Lord, that you'll help the preacher as I stand today to preach. I need that special touch that can only come from the hand of God. I need grace. I need glory. I need your power. I pray that you'll set me in a wide place, a large room, and allow me this day to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And help me to preach today, Lord, like the world before me is all lost, and this is the last day before thy return. Give me grace and wisdom, insight into the book, and we'll thank you and praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Getting a service like this, I kind of get wound up, and it's kind of hard for me to take my time then and get into the message. I just like to jump up straddle of the pulpit, amen, and swing from that box up on the ceiling. And for about an hour and a half, and tell God just how good He's been to me. Amen. And I got to kind of guard myself against that. And I said, "Preacher, are you that wild?" You don't know how wild I am, buddy. And I get wound up. Amen. All right, I want us to look at that last statement in verse number 1 today of chapter 7. And I'm not going to be preaching anything that has a vulgar cant to it in any way. I want you to understand that. But it mentions the thighs of the bride of the Lord Jesus. Amen. In fact, it says the joints of thy thighs are the jewels are like jewels, the work of the hands of a cunning workman. Now, I want to try to preach a while this morning or this afternoon, whatever it is. If God will help me on the thought, let's get out of joint. Let's get out of joint. Now, some people, you know, get out of joint in a bad sense. Talk about them being out of joint, or they get disgruntled. They, for some reason, they get upset about some little thing, and their attitude's not right, their spirit's not right, and we refer to that to being out of joint. But the out of joint that I want to preach on and I'm referring to this morning is in a positive sense. As Solomon here continues the description of his bride, he says that her joints, the joints of her thighs, are like jewels, and it is the work of the hands of a cunning workman.
Amen.
Now, verse 1, its primary interpretation, is dealing with the walk of the believer.
Amen.
That's right. When he speaks about the feet and the shoes and the thighs, all these are used in our walk.
Amen.
They're intended for an individual to use in walking. And when you speak of a Christian's walk in Christ, you're referring to that character or conduct or the conversation of life. And I really believe what the Lord is saying here is that the bride's conversation in life, our conduct, how we behave ourselves, that is like jewels, and it is like the work of a cunning craftsman.
Amen.
May I say, friend, that our walk or our behavior in life ought to be that which becometh the holiness of God.
Amen.
The Bible said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy," saith the Lord. And I tell you, don't you deceive yourself, friend. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. I don't want to get off on a hobby horse today, but I'm here to tell you, friend, this crowd that names the name of Christ and they're still wallowing in their sin, and they don't, there's not 1 ounce of God about them anywhere, and they can still rub shoulders with sin. And it doesn't bother them at all. In fact, they can engage to some degree in sin in this life, and it doesn't bother them. I've got some real serious doubts whether they've ever been to Calvary. Now, only the Lord knows the hearts of men and knows whether men are lost or whether they're saved. But bless your heart, the Bible said, "By their fruits ye shall know them." And if there is no holy conduct and character in the heart of an individual, they've never been saved. Brother, I tell you, liars and dishonest people are going to be in hell just like the drunkard and the adulterer and the whoremonger and the prostitute and with the rest of them. Morality never saved anybody. I'll run that by you again. The Bible does not say be you moral. It said be you holy. And you can be as moral, friend, as a man can be and still die in your sin and go to hell. There is a great deal of difference between morality and holiness. And regardless of what Jerry Falwell said, there never has been a moral majority in America. No siree. Now, I want you to notice now, and I'm trying to take my time because you're going to have to get what I'm when I get to preaching. I want you to notice that it does not say that the thighs themselves are like jewels. It don't say that these thighs right here are like jewels. No, sir. It says that the joints, of those thighs are like jewels. The work of a cunning workman, the hands of a very cunning workman. That word jewel here is simply an ornament that has been hand rubbed or hand polished. And what God is saying is that the walk and the conduct of a child of God has been polished. It has been hand rubbed by the hands of a very cunning workman. Oh yes, now, and I've quoted this verse hundreds of times, but I want to read it for you this morning. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that we have been put on the potter's wheel, and it is the hands of the potter himself that is shaping us and molding us and polishing us, that we ought to not only conduct ourselves, friend, in a holy manner, but we ought to walk uprightly in this life and conduct ourselves as the children of God and no longer live as the Gentiles do or the heathen do without God and without hope in this world. No, I'm glad that we're His workmanship, buddy. He's still a-working on me. That's right, He's still a-working on me. I'm glad that He got my thighs out of joint. Amen, and began to rub the joints until they shine, my friend, just like an emerald or a sapphire or a pearl or an opal. I'm glad, thank God, that we've got a workman that is working on us to design us, shape us, and mold us into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, don't leave me, and I'm going to show you what I'm talking about, this walk. The rest of that verse in Ephesians said, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, come on in the house, youngins. Hey, this crowd that is a-preaching, that some are foreordained to heaven and hell, and yet that crowd that preaches a lot of that live like hell itself. When the Bible said that God hath ordained that we should walk in them, friend, that is that God has so ordained that a saved person will conduct himself like a saved person. Somebody said, preacher, why was that preacher over yonder in Muhlenberg County outside of mowing his grass in short? Because he's a lost man and don't know any better. Come on in the house, youngins. Amen to God. He's lost and don't know any better. Son, I'm telling you, when a sovereign God establishes a righteous decree, you can mark it down. It will be carried out to the fullest extent of the very law and grace of Almighty God. Now just stay with me now. The word, the word thigh. The word thigh means to be soft. It means that to be fleshly because of its softness. Stick right with me now. The word joint means to enwrap or to withdraw self. Except in Genesis 32:25, we're going to be preaching from there in a little while, the same word means to sever or to abandon. Now stay right with me. The joints of the thighs that are polished by the hands of a cunning craftsman, my friend, is that which separates the spiritual man from the flesh that we have and enables a child of God to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh and the lust of the mind and walk according to the course of this world that we're living in. Oh, can you get a hold of that? He said that that little bride, that the joints of her thighs are beautiful. They're like jewels. And they are because they changed her walk.
She no longer walks according to the prince of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Oh no, we're no longer under the power of darkness. But son, we've been converted and we walk under the power of Almighty God. We're no longer children of darkness and walking in darkness. But hallelujah, we are walking in light. And that light is the life of men. We are walking, if you please, with a companion whose name is the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom there is no darkness at all. Bless His wonderful name. That's right.
Amen.
And what I'm going to be a preaching on this morning, we need to get out of joint. We need to get out of the flesh. And walk in the Spirit, friend. And become spiritual beings that God's made us to be. Oh yeah, and quit satisfying ourselves and begin to satisfy the Lord that died for us and saved us from our sins and our iniquities. Listen very carefully now. Galatians 5:24-25.
Amen.
The Bible said, "And they that are Christ." I want to ask you something this morning. Are you Christ? Have you been born again?
Amen.
Have you been to Calvary?
Amen.
Have you tasted of the Lord and seen that He's good?
Amen.
Have you been to that fountain that's drawn from the blood of Emmanuel's veins?
Amen.
Have you plunged beneath that fountain and lost all them guilty stains? Has your conscience been purified? Has your heart been cleansed? Has your life been changed? Have you been to Calvary and been made a spiritual man in Christ?
Amen.
Come on in the house, children.
Amen.
And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh.
Amen.
Oh, my. Haman died, neighbor. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. With the affections? You mean I don't really have an affection for fleshly things no more? That's what the Bible said. And don't even lust over. I'm going to tell you, I like what Brother Ricky said the other night. Since I've been saved, son, I've drank all the liquor I ever wanted to drink. I smoked all the dope I wanted to smoke. Amen. Went to every movie house I wanted to go to. The only thing is, I don't want to go there anymore. Oh, no. Why? Because the flesh, with the affections and the lust thereof, have been crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing this, that the old man is crucified with Christ. Come on in the house, children. Don't leave me now. That verse goes on to say, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
Huh? And that word live in the Spirit means our conversion.
Amen.
That walk in the Spirit is our conversation.
Amen.
And Paul is saying, if we have been saved, if we've been converted, then our conversation in life ought to bear out the fact that we have truly been converted. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new.
Amen.
There's a preacher in our area not some years back. He's still in the area. But he made this statement. He said, I believe a drunk can make profession in Christ and get saved and never draw a sober breath and go to heaven when he dies. Now I'm going to tell you something, my friend. Somebody needs to study their Bible and read their Bible. Hey, for when you really got saved, a cunning workman put his hand of grace in your soul and began to work a miracle in your life to bring you into the very image of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, my friend, whom God did foreknow, He did also predestinate that we would be conformed to the image of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm glad He put His hand on me. God help, I'm going to get to that in a minute, but I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'm glad He touched me. Praise God, son. Amen. If His hand is on the joints of our thighs, that means that God has touched me this morning.
Amen.
Come on in the house, young'un. Paul said in Romans 8:1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." Boy, we love to quote that verse of Scripture, don't we? I mean, we really love it. But we never get to the last half of that verse. For it goes on to say, "Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And if you're still walking after the flesh, then, my friend, I'm afraid you're yet under the condemnation. Oh, yes, of the law. And you're yet under the wrath of Almighty God. But those, my friend, that walk in the Spirit, oh, yes, they are not condemned because they have believed on the only begotten Son of God, the Lord Jesus. Amen. I want to say, or I could say many things about believers, about their walk and emphasize that walk and so forth. But I want to try to take Jacob's life this morning. If God will let me, and take Jacob's life and distinguish his life between his walk in the flesh and his walk in the Spirit. And I want to say, my friend, that Jacob in his early years was a very fleshly minded man. Don't want to get ahead of myself, but he was a supplanter. He was a conniver. He come out of the womb a supplanter, taking his brother by the heels. In other words, he tried to gain everything in life but what he could get out of somebody else. He tried to get through life hanging on somebody else's coattail. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friend. You're not going to get to heaven hanging on somebody else's coattail. A supplanter will die in his fleshly ways and go to hell. You're going to have to be saved by the grace of God and lay hold on eternal life if you're going to heaven. As Brother Nolan used to say about some folk, when Jacob was a supplanter, he was so crooked, buddy, they'd have to screw him in the ground when he died. He was Jacob the supplanter. But in Genesis 32, in Genesis chapter number 32, as old Jacob made his way back to the land of Canaan from Paddan Aram, back down yonder in the land of his forefathers, the Bible said that he came to a place where he had to cross over the ford Jabbok. And he was left alone there all night long and wrestled with a man until the breaking of day. And when that man saw that he could not prevail over Jacob, the Bible said that he touched the hollow of his thigh, and his thigh was out of joint when he wrestled with that man. Now, I want to say, my friend, it's time as God's children that we learn to wrestle with that man. Oh, yes, and get out of joint like Jacob did. It's time that we got our thigh out of joint, my friend, and let the hand of a cunning workman rub and polish those joints that we might be conformed into the image of God and walk in a spiritual manner. Y'all love me this morning? I mean, you really love me? You know why some of you can't make it to that meeting over there? The flesh has said it'd just be easier set at the house. I won't charge you nothing for that, folks. I love you. But you listen to your flesh talk more than you do your spirit. I'm tired. Crucify that flesh. I'm tired too. Press your heart. A lot of folks are tired. But I'm telling you, hey, it's time that we please the Spirit rather than pleasing ourselves. It's time that we walked in the Spirit rather than walking in the flesh. And while Jacob wrestled with that man, the Bible said that he touched the hollow of his thigh and his thigh was out of joint while he wrestled with that man. Oh, yeah. And old Jacob said, hey, that man said, "Turn me loose, for it's a breaking of the day." And Jacob said, "I will not, turn you loose, except you bless me. And the man said, what, Jacob? What is your name? Get this now. And Jacob didn't lie. He said, my name is Jacob. He said, sir, I'm a supplanter. I'm a crafty, deceitful man. My name is Jacob. And oh, as they wrestled, that man said, your name shall no longer be Jacob, not a supplanter, but it shall be called Israel. For as a prince, he said, you've got power with God and power with men. And so now I'm telling you, there ought to be a little wrestling that we might obtain power of God and power with men and walk in the Spirit to the glory of God in our lifetime. And we're going to get to the message here in a minute. I ain't got there yet. Huh? Look here. And he wrestled with that man until the breaking of day. And he refused to turn him loose without being blessed first. The Bible said that the man blessed him and changed his name. And when the sun, as Jacob passed over Peniel, the Bible said that the sun rose upon Jacob and he halted on one leg. For God touched the sinew of his thigh, and it shrank. That flesh shrank. And I'm telling you, friend, there's going to come a time when our flesh has got to shrink to give way to the spiritual man that God's developing on our inside. The Bible said he halted. Now get this. He said the sun rose upon Jacob. He had wrestled all night in prayer, but the sun rose upon Jacob when he crossed Peniel. That tells me, son, there's a new day dawned in Jacob's life. Oh, yes, sir. He had been in darkness, friend, but a new day dawned in his life. And I'm going to tell you, it'll be a new day in your life, neighbor, when you kill that flesh of yours, oh, yes, and crucify it to the cross of the Lord Jesus and walk in the spiritual man that you might not fulfill the lusts and the desires of your flesh and mind. Did you know that? You know that the spirit and the flesh, they wrestle with one another and they're contrary to one another. Huh? And did you know that your mind, that carnal mind, is enmity with God? Now I'm going to tell you, a lot of most folks today are fulfilling the lust of the flesh and the desires of the mind more than they are obeying the Spirit of God. Anytime somebody says, I think, I believe. Man called me last night. Said, preacher, there may be a young man call you tonight. Wants to talk to you about the will of God for his life. And I said, well, what's it about? And he told me. And I said, well, what'd you tell him? He said, I told him. The young man said, yeah, I know, but I think it ought to be like this. Yeah. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friend. You better be careful what your mind's telling you. Amen. You better beware what your fleshly mind is telling you and your desires of your flesh is telling you. Yeah. Son, there is a Bible there that God has given us as a book that we can find instruction for our lives in. And son, if God don't say it, leave it alone, whatever it is. That's right. Come on now and help me. Huh? He halted on his thigh. He had a different walk. Jacob's life was changed. He went from a supplanter to a prince. That word supplanter means to seize by the heel, to prevent another by wiles or fraud, to restrain by tripping up by the heel. He was born a supplanter, amen, and he lived a supplanter. He was crooked in his dealings. He was crooked with Esau, crooked with his daddy, crooked with Laban, crooked with everybody he met, until he met the man, my friend, in Genesis 32. Somebody said, you remember them wrestlings? Oh, yes! And I wasn't fit to die, son, until I learned that there was a spiritual life that God had given that was abundant and beyond anything that I'd ever experienced in the flesh. Are you listening? Huh? It's time to get out of joint. Her thighs are like jewels. the work of the hands of a cunning workman. Time to get out of joint. Now look here. Those thighs are flesh. Those joints are what separate the flesh from the spiritual man.
Amen.
Somebody said, can you do that? Oh, yes. I believe we can crucify it. Now, hey, I want you to stay with me now. I've got to the message. Don't leave me. I want to try to help our church. I'm just being honest with you. Some of you folk in here need some help.
Amen.
I told Brother Ricky last night, I said, I'm afraid about half the crowd's backslidden as the devil.
Amen.
And it may be that you're listening to the wrong voice. Listening to self rather than listening to God. Listen now. When he wrestled with that man all night, it was a crisis in his life.
Amen.
Son, it was a do or die situation. He feared Esau, and he had to have something from God to overcome that fear. And it was the fleshly man that was afraid. I'm here to tell you the flesh has absolutely no faith in God whatsoever, my friend. You won't ever overcome in your life as long as you walk in the flesh and not the Spirit. It has no faith in God whatsoever.
Amen.
And that faith, that flesh is full of fear, boy. I can't do it. I can't sing a special song. I can't teach a Sunday school class. I can't take the young folks and do anything with them. Who told you you couldn't? I can't teach Sunday school this morning. Steve told me in there last night, he said, preacher, you think it'd be all right if I just had prayer in the morning? He said, I just can't come up with nothing. You know, I said, hey, go out there and do something.
Amen.
Open your Bible and do something. I'm going to tell you, if we'll just exercise a little faith and do something, God will divinely intervene and help us do a lot for the glory of God.
Amen.
You know what that was telling him? That is flesh.
That's right.
That was his thigh. You can't teach Sunday school. What do you know about it, thigh?
Amen.
Get her out of joint, son. You teach Sunday school.
Amen.
Get her out of joint. You preach the Word of God. Get her out of joy and you can live a holy life. Get her out of joy and you can overcome fear. Get her out of joy and you can walk with God daily.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. Now look here. How is it accomplished? How are we going to get out of joint? There's got to be a solution to getting out of joint. Jacob found that solution. It said in verse number 24, and Jacob was left alone and wrestled with him, a man, until the breaking of day.
Amen.
Come on in the house with your heart, children. I want to say, if you're going to get out of joint, you're going to have time alone with God.
Amen.
That ain't very deep now. But hey, you're not going to do business. You cannot, the spiritual man, cannot do business with God as far as our own personal dealing as long as there's a multitude in the crowd around us. Do you know when Moses learned to do something for God? Somebody said, I ain't a preacher. You don't have to be a preacher. But do you know when Moses learned? Moses had the same fear that Jacob had, only Moses feared Pharaoh. And he fled from him. You know where he found the grace to go back down yonder into Egypt? Out on the backside of the desert in 40 years of his life alone with God. And I say this to you preachers in here. You'll never be worth a flip of a booger until you learn that you can't run with the crowds all the time. Amen. And have God's power and blessings on your life. Time alone. He sent his wives and his children across the brook.
Amen.
And Jacob was left alone with God. And there wrestled with him a man until the breaking of day.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you one of the greatest evils of our day, son, is that we never have quiet time with God.
Amen.
If it's not the television a blaring and a bawling, it's the radio a blaring and a bawling. And come on in the house, I won't charge you nothing for this. But if it ain't a radio blaring and bawling, it's a computer in our face a blaring and a bawling. never. God ain't never replaced quiet time in the Bible with a computer.
Amen.
Now, I love you, but I'm just telling you so, friend. Hallelujah. Time he was left alone with God. When's the last time you men got alone with God? Somebody said, "Preacher, well, what does he do when he's alone with God?" Well, he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." I'm going to tell you what. Hey, you get in the presence of God and get alone with God. I'm going to tell you the first thing he's going to do, son, he is going to prove your heart. Oh, he's going to show you exactly. That's why folks don't want to spend time with God. You don't want to look in that putrefying mess you got in the middle of your bosom. You notice when he said, "What's your name, Buckwheat?" He didn't say, "Praise God, I'm a great man of God, Lord." He said, "No, Lord, you search the hearts and you try the rain, and you know as well as I do that my name's Jacob. I'm as crooked, bless God, as a corkscrew. Dealt crooked in all my life." But I'm going to tell you, he left there an honest man. You know, when them boys of his went down into Egypt and Joseph sent their money back and Jacob realized that money was back, if that had been set planner, he'd have said, "Praise God, boys, God's really blessed us today, ain't he?" But he said, "Take that money back down into Egypt now, buddy."
Amen.
Amen. No more crooked dealing. Son, God will prove your heart. He'll show you what is in you. Somebody said, "I don't like it." You think I do? You know who I preached to before I ever started preaching a couple of weeks ago on flesh and this one on flesh? I sat in that upper room and the Holy Ghost preached a hall. Some things I've got to curb. Some things I've got to change. Some things I've got to get right. If I want that blessing, if I want to walk, if I want to have that right walk and that right conduct, if I want that sinew to shrink, if I want that thigh to get out of joint. And look here. Do you realize that him getting out of joint affected a whole nation? For the Bible said that all Israel from that day forward never ate the sinew which shrank. I'm going to tell you what your walk will do, buddy. It'll affect other people. It'll change other folk. You ain't afraid of your heart, are you? I'm going to tell you why some of you don't want to sit alone. God might whisper in your ear and say, "You're lost. You're lost. Put on a good show, but you're lost." I don't know whether saved folk can carry on forever the way some of y'all have or not. I'm serious, folks. I love you. It proved his heart. It endued him with power. He said, "For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men." Brother Steve, I believe you're serious about wanting God's power in your life. Take time alone with God. Son, I'm telling you, a minute spent with God is not wasted. An hour with God is not wasted. Oh, little old Mary Magdalene, every time you see her in the Bible, she's sitting there at the feet of Jesus, buddy. Are you listening to me? Sitting with Him. Hey, while she was alone, she received one of the greatest blessings anybody could have. She got the first look at the risen Lord. Rabboni! Tarry alone with God! Somebody said, "Oh, the harvest fields are dying and going to hell." I tell you what, if we'll take care of our time with God, God will allow us to take time in the harvest fields for Him. It'll prove his heart and endued him with power. I won't say it preserved his life.
Amen.
Now, don't anybody leave me right here. He said, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved."
Amen.
He ain't talking about his salvation, neighbor. He's talking about the life which I now live in the flesh.
Amen.
Are y'all getting anything at all today?
Amen.
The life which I now live in the flesh. You know what life he's talking about? He said, Esau's on the other side. Son, I'm going to tell you, after he had spent some time with God, he said, "Praise God." And he said, "He's preserved my life."
Amen.
Listen to me carefully. Some of you are about to lose the work that God's done on you in this life. And you're going to lose it, friend, if you don't learn to spend some time with God.
Amen.
And get that flesh of yours, get that thigh out of joint.
Amen.
Separate that thigh from your spiritual man. Separate that flesh from your spiritual man.
Amen.
Are you listening? The life. He said, "My life is preserved."
Amen.
God, I can't imagine losing what God's wrought in my life.
Amen.
Now look here, can you imagine me following the lust of the flesh and start noticing women and gazing at women and looking at women? Until those lusts, as Brother Steve said in Sunday school this morning, and he was exactly right, buddy, if you don't curb that, what's in there, it will come out.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Until that comes out, you know what I've done? I have lost my life.
Amen.
When God saved you, He not only saved your soul, He saved your life from destruction.
Amen.
What Jacob is saying, he's saying, "I'm saved. But the life that I'm living that God saved from destruction, I've wrestled with the Lord tonight. And He's preserved that life that He's given me." I've come that you might have life, eternal life, spiritual life, and that you might have it more abundantly, earthly life. And what Jacob's saying here, he preserved that abundant life that He's given me on this side of the cross. Can you get a hold of that?
Amen.
I hope you can. I want to say the second thing. Not only time alone with God, but toiling in prayer.
Amen.
"And there wrestled a man with me until the breaking of day." He didn't preach, "Now lay me down to sleep, fellas."
Amen.
All night long. Somebody said, "Oh, I can't pray like that, Brother Hall." Neither can I, but we can learn. Fellas, I guess why I'm preaching. I want you to go on. I want to take you home, God. I want to take you to higher ground. I want us to go to higher ground together. I told somebody in here the other day, and it might have been Steve and Doug. I don't know, but story of Duncan Campbell. And his daughter came to him in his study one night and crawled up on his lap and said, "Daddy, Daddy, why is it, Daddy, that you used to preach, Daddy, and men got saved? Why is it, Daddy, that converts used to come to your ministry, Daddy? Why? And why is it now that there's no converts, Daddy? Have you lost your power, Daddy? Have you lost your power?" He said, and he realized, Campbell said, he realized that his messages were just mechanical. No power, no touch of God, no blessing of God upon them. He said he went to his study that night and sat down in his study and began to read and to pray, and said way up into the wee hours of the morning, said his little girl come walking in that room again, and it was way up in the wee hours of the morning, said she climbed up on his lap again, she noticed the tears in his eyes and the brokenness in his heart, and as she sat there, she put her arm around his down around her daddy, knowing that he was had a broken heart and was a wrestling with God and a wrestling, my friend, for the power of God and the blessings of God in his life. Said that little girl, said, "Whatever the cost, Daddy, whatever the cost, go with God, Daddy, go with God." I'm here to tell you, church, whatever the cost, go with God, go with God. Whatever the cost, go with God. And it will cost you something. Jacob no longer walked like this. Jacob walked like this. And it'll cost you something, friend, to have God's power and God's blessings and be a Spirit-filled Christian will cost you a little something. And old Duncan Campbell said that little girl slipped back down off his lap and went in the other room, and he continued to pray. And he said, right about daylight that morning, he said, God moved in his soul. Tears began to run down his face, and said he lost all sense of where he was at and what was going on around him. And he said it was just wave after wave after wave of the love of God that flooded through his soul. And said, oh, somebody said, Campbell, did you speak in tongues? He said, no, I didn't speak in tongues. But he said, I knew when I got up off of that floor that morning that God, my friend, had been in my presence. And I toiled in prayer with that same man, Jacob, did. And I knew that my life had been changed within me. And he said, I took the same old messages that used to be empty and preach them and had converts coming to God. I'm telling you, what we need as preachers and what we need as laymen, my friend, is the power of God. And it'll only... God, you can do whatever you want to do. Huh? It paid the price, toiling in prayer, but it prevailed over the flesh. Amen. And look here, his task was overcome. The fire was gone, Prince had arrived. Some of y'all can't get over your past.
I don't know about tomorrow, I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine or the clouds or something sun may turn to gray. I don't worry for the future, for I know what Jesus said.
I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds my hand. And some yesterday is under the blood. Let her go yesterday. Don't worry about yesterday. Come to the ground, come. Live today for God. Don't live yesterday. Live today for God.
Amen. 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 I used to be crooked, but now I'm a point.
Yes, sir.
What do you used to do? What sin of the flesh does so easily beset you? That's what I'm talking about. Run your race with patience. Lay aside every weight, every sin and weight that does so easily beset you. What is that sin that holds you back? Huh? You still got the spring in your flesh. Cripple the flesh. That's what he's done. He's crippled the flesh. Done it, crippled the flesh. Hallelujah to God. It wasn't as active as it used to be. It wasn't as strong and powerful as it used to be. He crippled the flesh, son. He shrunk it up. And, oh, yes, put the last